It's the Way of the Master Radio pre-show mail call delivery bag, Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza, featuring your emails, letters, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Have you checked your email this morning?
Incoming message.
I think he wants to communicate.
There is a message for you.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
With fertility pills, is that God healing us using the knowledge and wisdom of the doctors, or are we trying to play God?
Wow, good one. Beep talk us, would ya, huh? 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. This is the Way of the Master Radio pre-show show. May I remind you, if and you've got an idea for the program, please send it to us. It allows us to take afternoon naps. Thank you. If you're not sure that you are saved, saved at wayofthemasterradio.com. Okay, for instance, I'm looking at my email right now. Now, there's a bunch of junk in there. Boy, are you not getting weary from all the junk that gets sent around an email? But I've got 12 emails in my saved. Okay, a couple of these people are from Germany. A couple of these are for designer shoes. We get emails from people who are not sure that they're saved, and we take great time and great care to correspond with you and work with you as much as we can within the bounds of our role in your life, not trying to usurp the role of your pastor by any way, shape, or form, because they're the man, and they're ultimately the one you should be going to. But if for any reason you've got a question, a problem, or an issue with the pastor, whatever, if you're not sure you're saved, saved at wayofthemasterradio.com. What about fertility pills? Are we taking this action of getting pregnant, having children, creating life, if you will, into our own hands? Or is this simply using something that God has provided for healing? This is my take. And as I sit here, I'm telling you, I don't know of an explicit command that would forbid fertility pills. I don't know of an explicit command. But this is Todd's opinion, all right? I think when it comes to something like this is not taking life into your own hands, because we're not killing life here. We're trying to do a God-pleasing, God-honoring thing, a thing that He has ordained and allows and blesses with. And I would say this, if you can take fertility pills in order to become fertile, in order to have babies, I just can't see how God would go, hey, what do you think you're doing creating children that you want to grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? I find it to be a stretch counter to His entire being. Now, are we possibly taking the role of God into our own hands and making that decision? Let me simply say this. If God does not want you to have children, you can take 17 bottles of fertility pills today. And if God doesn't want you to get pregnant, you're not going to get pregnant. You are not going to override His sovereignty. You're not going to override His will. Appreciate the desire to make sure that you aren't sinning. The best I see it, I don't think you are.
I was wondering what you think about Joel 2:28. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Will God change what He said in the scripture? Did He not mean what He said?
Now, I've seen vehicles that are loaded with equipment. I've fired some shotguns that were loaded. I've seen some people stumble out of a bar who were loaded. But that was a loaded question, madam. That was definitely a loaded question, in my opinion. Now, what do we do with Joel 2:28? I think it depends on what you do with in those days. It reappears, this whole concept of the visions and the dreams and the prophesying, depending, of course, on how you define those things. It appears again in Acts chapter 2. The question is, what is in those days? And also, what do we do with like? In Acts chapter 2, that they will do things like that. Were they doing things like that or actually doing those things? So having said all of that, it really depends on your end times theology. So, madam, wait a second. Maybe, though, on the other hand, I know, maybe you're coming at me because you don't think, because, you know, the prophesying and forecasting the future, I don't think that happens. Oh, maybe that's it. Well, I think that this is an end times prophecy then. That's what I'd do with it.
In Leviticus 25:44, God permits the children of Israel to have and buy slaves. Was that just a cultural thing for the people at that time? And how do we know which things and which laws are changed in the New Testament?
Oh, dude, that question's too huge. Do this. You know all of our shows are archived. Go into wayofthemasterradio.com, type in slaves for the search word. We dealt with this just about a week or two ago. We got to start the show.
Thank you.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble.
I'm a very good person.
You're perfect in every way.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Oh Lord, yes, I would consider myself.
You consider yourself to be a good person?
I'm a good person.
But I'm doing the best that I can.
Yes, I am a good person.
Yes, I would.
Yes?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Everybody that you know is guilty before God. You are guilty. I am guilty. The bus driver is guilty. There never has been a profound thinker concerning the nature of the human condition and the human race who has believed that man is good.
It's time for The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Frio.
Let's go to New York, shall we? Nice quality recording. This is Way of the Master Radio. I think this is 1980 at Carnegie Hall.
Start spreading the news.
Not in particularly good voice.
I'm leaving today.
It's Frank. Leave him alone.
What, is he Lutheran or something?
You wouldn't pick
protecting
on
him like that.
You wouldn't pick on Elvis like that.
Oh, man. That's because he was never sounded like this. Let's
you
go to New York. Our little growing pain has been doing a whirlwind tour of New York City. Why? Well, he's been appearing on this show and that show because he's got a brand new book out. We're going to let him tell you all about it because he's joining us right now on the telephone. Our very own growing pain, Kirk Cameron. Oh, Mr. Cameron.
Yes, sir. How are you? I'm in the town that never sleeps, you know.
Oh, boy. You've never been sleeping because in the last 24 hours, you've basically done Good Morning America. How did that go?
Went very well. I got to talk with Robin, and she was a sweetheart.
All right, and you got a chance to talk about your book, Still Growing. By the way, dude, they put the entire first chapter up on their website.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
And it's funny. And it's captivating, and it's like a flashback to the 80s to the point where I just went, I got to go find my parachute pants.
Oh, yeah, it was the 80s, the days of, big hair, big shoulder pads, and big acting. That was Mike Seaver.
Yeah, I don't want to sound too manly, but I actually, you know, those big bulky shoulders in those suits, I didn't need the pads.
You didn't know? That's because you're a manly man. You're a guy's guy.
Yeah, well, when it comes to, I have got the physique of, let's say, I don't know, a marathon runner from Africa, pretty much. All right, so, dude, you're promoting Still Growing. Good Morning America went well. The Glenn Beck Show.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, that went really well. And, he was just very gracious, and he couldn't have been more supportive. I figured, he was going to be. He's such a quick-thinking, sharp-minded guy that I thought he might get a little underhanded dig about something, but he didn't. He was just kind of, hey, way to go, dude. Love what you're doing. And I thought, wow, that was great.
Yeah, he's an interesting fellow, that Glenn Beck, because he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
And that guy. He's one of those guys where you would go, if religion was about results, you'd have to say Mormonism is right, because he was a train wreck. He was he was just a raging alcoholic, tripped over Mormonism, and now he's clean and sober. But that's no guarantee that the religion itself is true just because it appears that somebody's had some success with it.
That's right. And he talks about that a lot in his book, which he was kind enough to sign for my dad. And even he told a Mormon joke.
I have never heard one.
Well, you want to hear it?
How could we pass on that?
Yeah. Glenn Beck's Mormon joke. He calls it an inside Mormon joke. He says about marriage, he says, why a man would want a wife is a mystery. Why a man would want more than one wife is a bigger mystery.
it's a pun.
And then you still wonder, and he's still, embracing Mormonism, and you kind of look into the whole polygamy thing, and you go, wow, that's kind of a train wreck.
That, their attitude toward black people was another train wreck. The prophecies not fulfilled train wreck, even though
becoming a god of your own and populating your own planet.
That
wow.
God had sex with Mary and came up with Jesus. Yikes. All of it. No. Alrighty, so then you did Glenn Beck promoting your book called Still Growing. Then the big, now earlier you did the Dennis Miller Show. I heard rave reviews on that deal.
Again, God must be just deciding to just shower me with graciousness at the moment because everyone has been so positive toward the book, and toward me. I haven't anybody really come after me, you know, which is kind of surprising when you're going on shows that can be rather controversial.
Well, I could maybe just play the advocate for a while and be a jerk.
You know, I bet you could, Todd.
Well, I've got the gifting. All right,
we could duke it out right here on the Way of the Master
Radio. Yeah, that would be terrific. Okay, so Dennis Miller went great. I like Dennis Miller, by the way. I find him just a captivating fellow. Now, the one, though, that every time I mentioned it to somebody, hey, Kirk's going to go on this show, they'd go, oh. Now, you just did The View this morning.
That's right. With
the ladies. And Joy Behar was the one that just makes you go, oh, that could just... How did it go, dude?
It went great. You know, I figured, you know, Joy may be the one that really kind of decides to, really go after me because, you know, I'm kind of the Christian family values all about marriage and the gospel kind of guy. And, she kind of goes in a different direction. So, you know what I did? I kind of sweetened the interview. I walked out and, when Elizabeth Hasselbeck started talking about what a big Growing Pains fan she was, I said, you know, I heard that you were big fans of the show, but that the biggest fan of all was Joy.
Yeah, huh?
And I gave Joy I told her it was the last remaining Mike Siever pillowcase, and I signed it for her, Sweet Dreams, Love, Kirk. And she took it and ran with it. I think she, you know, my thought was, I wonder if she would have said much during the interview at all. Not sure all that we had in common, but I think this gave her something to do, and that was to kind of just be funny about the
Okay, now this, but it does beg a question, however. Please, please, please tell me that you had a Mike Siever Growing Pains pillowcase made just for this occasion. Please tell me it wasn't something that was manufactured in the 80s. Please tell me that.
Well, you know, Todd, I could go either way with this answer. I did actually fabricate it just for this. I dug up an old teen Beat cover photo from my mom's box in her attic, and I made it at Kinko's. But
there was one.
And later on that day, I found one of the real ones. How scary is that?
Wow. So that the girls could sleep with their face on yours.
It's so geeky. It's so goofy. But you know what? I will always be thankful to Mike Siever for the opportunity. Without him, I wouldn't be on The View in Glenn Beck. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but see, people, I would think that people would be inclined to look at you and go, wow, what a sweet life, what a cool thing. Honestly, though, and you probably won't say it because you're kind of that way, your temptation for pride and for arrogance, way bigger than ours, way bigger, because of the spotlight and the attention.
You know, but I understand what you're saying, and but, you know, at the same time, you go on shows like this, and I go on there with fear and trembling because I know that I could just bomb so big. You know, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm not the fastest-thinking guy in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of big on honesty and sincerity, and, you know, I hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. I think that just made my point just fine. All right. Dude, well done. Yeah, I presume that you're going home now, and you're just going to do whatever it is that you do all day.
That's right. I'm going to go put my chickens back in a chicken coop before another coyote eats one and causes a drama at my house.
You know, honestly, you better hope that PETA doesn't show up at your doorstep with this chicken fiasco you got going on in your backyard.
He's a gentleman farmer?
Yeah, well, he kind of is that way.
Wow.
You are, if you had your druthers, you'd probably be farming or doing something like that, wouldn't you?
I got my 1952 Ford 8N restored beautifully, but that doesn't mean that I wish I was a farmer.
Well, it means something. All right, dude, and the third season of The Way of the Master TV show comes out in 2017 is now the launch date.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, it's supposed to be coming out in the next few weeks, so...
Can't wait for that. That's going
to
be the
best. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Also, coming up, you're a busy man. Coming up, Fireproof is due date. Do we have one for that yet?
Yeah, September 26th, the new movie Fireproof is going to be launching in theaters near you.
All righty, dude. Well done. Glad you got a chance to go on, talk about the gospel, and to be a great witness. So, well done.
Okay, thanks a lot. Great talking, Todd.
Okay, have a great flight. Goodbye. Boy, busy, busy, busy. Now, that little conversation that we just had with our Growing Pain, don't forget his book, Still Growing. If there was somebody in your life who thought that Kirk was/is the bee's knees, just plain dreamy, go to wayofthemasterradio.com and click on resources, and it'll take you there. Give it to them. And if you like... I'll just go ahead and give you the permission.
Bee's knees?
Well, that's the type of lingo that they used in the 80s.
No, we didn't.
I was told. Right. So I've read a lot about the 80s, and apparently bee's knee, I could be confusing it with the 40s. You can just go ahead and you can forge a signature right there. However, now there's two pieces of business we need to take care of. David!
Yo!
Is this the same clip?
Which, who what?
The Frank Sinatra deal.
Does it have end at the end of it?
Yes, sir, it does. Uh-huh. But is it the same one from Carnegie Hall in 1980?
That's the one.
Because the clip we saw in 85, he sounded, when he was in Japan, he actually sounded really good.
I didn't grab that one.
All right, let's give this one a listen. Let's see if Frank still had it in him in 1980 for the big note.
Stop to you, New York.
No,
close.
Wasn't there.
Hey,
close. David?
Yeah.
Get the 1985 from Japan, the last big notes.
Got it.
It was older and was just way better in that one. I'm not even a fan of the man. However, was I mistaken that there was actually, we heard a Mormon pun from Glenn Beck? Is that correct?
Yes.
How perfect. I happen to have from the Washington Post, these are punishments for you. These are puns that people, just changing one word.
Are these
the
ones from the Mensa guys?
No, I got this from, it was from the Washington Post, but it's christopherhall.blogspot.com.
No, but I think it's the puns for the Post was for Mensa people.
Yeah, you're right.
So these are very intelligent puns.
Which is why I only circled like four of them out of 20, because I didn't understand the rest of them. Just pick the ones that were, they just changed one letter to give it a new meaning. For instance, you've got reincarnation, coming back to life as a hillbilly. That's reincarnation.
Well, I'll be.
Sarcasm, I picked that one just for you, Tony.
Thank you.
It's sarcasm, not sarcasm, it's chasm, as in C-H-A-S-M. The gulf between the author of sarcastic wit and the person who doesn't get it. Big chasm.
That would be me.
Inoculate, to take coffee intravenously when you're running late.
Exactly.
You got yourself, I'll save that one for the end. Carmageddon, that caught my attention. It's when everybody is sending off all those really bad vibes, and then the earth explodes, and it's a serious bummer. Got your Carmageddon right there. Beelzebub, with a G. Beelzebub.
Yes.
Satan, in the form of a mosquito that gets into your bedroom at 3 in the morning and just can't be cast out. That is Beelzebub. And finally, my favorite one.
Would be?
You know, these aren't bad enough to be puns. I got to be honest. If they're going to be puns, they should be even bigger groaners than this. Here we go. The number one.
These are
pun.
Intelligent ones, though.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Osteoporosis, a degenerate disease. That is correct. Now, you might be thinking, wow, having listened to the first 10 minutes of that program, just shilling, selling that still-growing book by the Kirk Cameron Growing Pain fella, you would think, after the pornography, the degenerate disease, that I would bring up the little CD called Slaying the Dragon, available at wayofthemasterradio.com. But I'm not going to do that. Simply not going to do that. Brace yourself for this. This is the revival that has been going on down in Florida. We thought we were going to be done
Bentley?
With this. Yeah, we thought this was over, to
I was
be honest.
Hoping.
This is the guy who took a trip. He takes out-of-body trips to Australia, and he sees Jesus, and he still talks. So right away, you know that he hasn't seen him. Especially when he says stuff like this. This is, I'm telling you, what... There's a lot of people that are still going to this, and a lot of people who are hearing about this, and they're so excited about revival. I got to tell you something. I don't know that revival is guaranteed in the Bible. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here. I just don't know that God guarantees that he's going to move like he did at Pentecost for that great outpouring where thousands were saved in one day. But if he does, and perhaps he does, I'm not saying he doesn't, I think it's more of the one-on-one witnessing, the just day in and day out sharing your faith with people, is how I think God generally saves a lot of people. But if there is such a thing as revival, it doesn't sound like this.
The woman was standing in the back of the room when the faith of God hit the meeting, and her tumor exploded out of her right leg, slid down her leg onto the floor.
You're thinking, Todd, that's as ridiculous as it gets. No. You got a minute 38 to go.
I said, God, I've prayed for like 100 crippled people, not one. He said, that's because I want you to grab that lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat.
Sorry, you've still got 128 seconds to endure.
I walked up and I grabbed her legs and I started going, be healed, be healed. I started banging them up and down on the platform. She got healed. And
nope. Minute 20 to go.
Thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face.
Nope. You've still got a minute 17 to go.
And there's this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me.
All righty then.
He said, kick her in the face.
I think that's what Peter did with the Jews who were assembled there at Pentecost. He kicked them in the... When we come back, we have two mysteries to unravel. Does the man kick people in the face? And can Frank Sinatra hit the big note?
Frank can hit the big note.
This is Way of the Master Radio.
At least I hope Frank can hit the big note.
If you like using the Million Dollar Bill track, you'll be pleased to know that we now have a 4th of July Million Dollar Bill. This is very patriotic, with a picture of a red, white, and blue and Thomas Jefferson on the front with Happy 4th of July written on it. It's perfect for giving out on the 4th of July. It's the same thorough gospel presentation as the Million Dollar Bill, but this one is in full color. It's irresistible. So don't miss it. The 4th of July Million Dollar Bill, available at wayofthemasterradio.com.
Come with me now, won't you, as we visit the internet together. I'm at evangelismteam.com. They've got a little section that says tracks, how to use them, how to get them, the harvest, be a laborer, how to do street preaching, how to pass out tracks, how to watch videos, how to answer Bible questions. Tons of resources, videos, and tracks. These people love to reach the lost. And if you do too, or even if you don't, visit evangelismteam.com. We love these guys. They support the radio station. They've got tons of goods. Visit them at evangelismteam.com.
I will not try to even explain that to myself.
America's first president, George Washington, said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible."
Any of this getting through to you, son?
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Come on, Frank. Come on, Frank. Come on, Frank. You gotta sound better in 85 than you did in 80.
It's up to you.
Yeah, baby, this is Way of the Master Radio. While that was magnificent, this, on the other hand, is tragic. It's Todd Bentley at the Florida Revivals. Talking about, he goes about healing, he's telling stories. These are like healing fish stories, is what you're about to hear. Not where little animals that live in the water get healed, but these are just whoppers of tales. He's now describing in this, wow, it's only a minute and 48 seconds long, but it seems like it's going on for, I don't know, as long as it takes to drive from one end of Nebraska to the other.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot.
Yeah, of course.
I inched closer and I went like this. Bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God. And I saw him, and the gift of faith came on me. I said, what do I do, God? And God told me to just run him down. So I jumped up in the air and I went, bam! And I hit him to the ground, jumped onto him, and got into a full mount.
There's probably about 74 things wrong with what you're hearing about this revival. That's all the buzz in some circles in Florida. Violent, for starters. Second of all, what are these people who are in the audience? You can go find these clips if you must at YouTube. What are they laughing at exactly? He's hurting people.
Ground and pound. I jumped on the, and I was in a full mount, and something came over me, and instead of punching, I grabbed him by the neck and started choking him. And I said, come out of him, devil!
How can, why isn't anybody at that place standing up and just going, excuse me, you charlatan?
Out of him, devil! Now, I was in another meeting one time, and I called out this Chinese gentleman. And all of a sudden, I went running down the aisle.
Oh, now the hilarity begins. The big 260-pounder gonna tackle the Chinese guy.
I hit this guy so hard, it drove him back several feet. He hit the ground, and his tooth popped right out of his mouth.
Ho, ho! Now we're talking Holy Ghost revival.
The pastor was lying on the floor. And I was standing up on the platform and I said, God, I want revival. And he said these words to me, leg drop the pastor. I said, what? He said, leg drop the pastor.
Well, you know that old revival move. It's Red Bastien used to have a very efficient leg drop.
Whoa.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. Even wrestling fans are going, I have no idea who that is. Red Bastien, you remember the redheaded guy?
With AWA.
Bad jumpsuit. Because it had the one strap going over. Like Ivan Koloff, at least he had the two straps going over the top. Red Best, just the one. It always looked like he was kind of off. He had a good leg drop. Little did I know, he could have been a revivalist, the Red Bastien. He could have just been leg dropping the pastor out there. There's such a desire to see movements of God, to see God somehow manifest himself, to appear to speak when we have got the Bible. Let me share with you from Charles Spurgeon. That would be your Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who, by the way, he once went to a revival and somebody tried to leg drop him.
That'd been the last time they did that.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Probably would have just, nothing else, with a cigar. This is what he says that we should do when it comes to reading the Bible so that you can get everything out of it, or at least a fraction of it, that's there for us to enjoy so that we don't need these goofy, dippy stories from people like Todd Bentley, who is just getting out of control. This is the type of scenario that we need to watch, because this type of false teacher with this ridiculous false teaching, where's Jesus? Where's the blood? Where's forgiveness? Where's repentance? Where's faith? Where's the cross exalted? One of these days, I've got eight qualifications.
Dude, don't say where's the blood with this guy.
Yeah, you got that right. Eight qualifications based on Romans 15 that I've completely plagiarized from a pastor that I've been listening to. And one of the points of what makes for a ministry that we can commend to others that qualifies and looks at least something like the ministry of the Apostle Paul, one of the things would be the exalting of the cross. The lifting up of salvation, Jesus, so that he gets credit. Proclaiming the cross. Where is that in all of this dopiness?
The woman was standing in the back of the room when the faith of God hit the meeting and her tumor exploded out of her right leg, slid down her leg onto the floor.
Charles Spurgeon writes this, when we come to the study of Holy Scripture, we should try to have our mind well awake to it. We are not always fit to read the Bible. How true it is. At times, it were well for us to stop before we open the volume. Just hold it. You're not ready. You're whatever. Just stop. You have just come in from careful thought and anxiety about your worldly business, and you cannot immediately take that book and enter into its heavenly mysteries. It's just too much of, and it makes that sound too, if you've ever noticed. You grind the gears trying to go from your world. Not that there's anything wrong with doing your business and your stuff and your family, not saying that. We're treading suddenly in another realm, God's revelation to human being. So stop. As you ask a blessing over your meat before you fall to, so it would be good for you to ask a blessing on the word before you partake of its heavenly food. Pray to the Lord to strengthen your eyes before you dare to look into the eternal light of Scripture. As the priests washed their feet at the laver before they went to their holy work, so it were well to wash the soul's eyes with which you look upon God's word, to wash even the fingers, if I may so speak, the mental fingers with which you will turn from page to page, that with a holy book you may deal after a holy fashion. Say to your soul, come, soul, wake up. You're about to read, not the newspaper. You are now not reading something by a human poet to be dazzled by his flashing poetry. You're coming very near to God, who sits in the Word like a crowned monarch in his halls. Wake up, all that is within me. Though just now I may not be praising and glorifying God, I am about to consider that which should lead me to do so. And therefore it is an act of devotion. So be on the stir, my soul, be on the stir, and bow not sleepily before the awful throne of the Eternal. You know, speaking, that's funny. You know the word awful that's in there? There was an Isaac Watts hymn that talked about coming into the presence of God, the awful presence of God. And you know how they've changed the word these days? The awesome presence of God. As if there's just some awe, as opposed to full of awe. Oops, little tweaky tweak here. And somebody sent me a note. I don't know that we found that yet. Did we? Hey, David! David?
Yeah?
Do we have that clip of the new done version of Amazing Grace where they changed the lyrics?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Yeah, where instead of Amazing Grace, how sweet. Frank Sinatra did it, if I'm not mistaken. That saved and set me free instead of a wretch like me. You find that one by any chance?
Mm-mm.
Oh, all right, fine. Trust me. It's out there. Somebody sent me an email. I think they went to a Catholic service because we wouldn't want to use the term wretch like me. No, that might make somebody feel the way they ought. Charles Spurgeon, last quote from this, how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Okay, that's a lie. There's a couple more things here that are really magnificent. I have heard that the members of the Balearic Isles in the old times who wanted to bring their boys up to be good slingers would put their dinners up above them where they could not get to them until they threw a stone and fetched them down. Our Lord wishes us to be good slingers, and he puts up some precious truth in a lofty place where we cannot get it down except by slinging at it, and at last we hit the mark and find food for our souls. Then have we the double benefit of learning the art of meditation and partaking of the sweet truth which has brought within our reach. We must meditate. These grapes will yield no wine, unless you're Baptist. These grapes will yield no juice till we tread upon them. These olives must be put under the wheel and pressed again and again. Then the oil may flow therefrom. So there you have it. Make sure you clear your brain. Be thinking about it. Spurgeon was so emphatic about this, and then he went on to say, reject these people who say, well, I can't learn from other people, or I can't learn practices of how to interpret Scripture, or have somebody teach me how to read it, because that's not as spiritual as just relying on the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. We should ask the Holy Spirit to help us use the faculties that he's given us to apply them wisely, not for a supernatural revelation. He'll help us. At some level, I'm sure, because he's gracious that way. It's as if somebody asked you, would you please explain to me what your writing is about? It's so beautiful. I want to know more. Would you not deign to tell them? And so does God, and so does the Holy Spirit. But we must also apply our brain. We must apply some knowledge. We must apply some principles. We must apply some. Herman Hu, available at wayofthemasterradio.com, which is a wonderful opportunity for you to learn some of these practices so that you don't end up falling under the spell of Todd Bentley.
So he's got me in this meeting, and he's leading this meeting, this little charismatic Catholic meeting, and they're focusing on the gifts of the Spirit. And as I'm sitting there, I hear the audible voice of the Lord, and here's what God says to me. He says, Todd, go up to Frenchie and tell him that you have a demon. I said, what?
Me too, sir. It's funny. You took the words right out of my mouth. Something tells me if you would hear the voice of God, you know what would be the next thing that God would say to you? Don't be afraid. Because, dude, you would fall out more than as if you were at some sort of healing meeting with a man in a white suit.
I'm hearing the voice of God, and the audible voice of God says to me, a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, praying hours a day, reading the New Testament in one sitting.
Well, now that we've got a reward on earth.
I mean, in church, you know, I was in men's group on Tuesday night, in church on Sunday, in mass on Monday. And so right in the middle of this service, I walk up to him and I whisper into his ears, Frenchie, I have a, and I start manifesting a demon. In fact, it wasn't my voice anymore. I was so possessed by this spirit that literally my voice started speaking in another voice. But
For whatever it's worth, a true believer is not possessed by a demon. Light and darkness cannot dwell together.
Yet, I was still aware of the fact that I'm Todd Bentley. I'm here. There's a voice speaking out of my mouth that's not my voice, but I have no control. I can't get myself back, and I can feel something rising up, and through my flesh, not my spirit, but through my flesh, there's a demonic power controlling me.
Self-control right now. What you're hearing is me practicing the sound of self-control.
It throws me onto the floor, and I start writhing like a snake. I smash the coffee table, and I start grabbing people that are in the room, and I'm just throwing them around up against the bookcase.
Silence again.
I'm thrashing this lady's house, and I'm like an uncontrollable writhing serpent on the floor, speaking in a different voice and cursing and profanities coming out of my mouth. And as that's happening, I'm saying, I love Jesus.
Scale of 1 to 10. On the preposterous scale, no, a scale of 1 to 10 on the, oh, this is blasphemy now.
This can't be happening to me.
Uh-huh,
I don't
right.
have demons. I love Jesus. And the whole time I'm cursing the very people that I love, and I can't stop, you know. And so he jumps on me, and he starts performing deliverance. And the first spirit that came out of me was fear. That was the first demon. It was a demon of fear. And then he starts dealing with all these other demonic spirits.
Like the scripture twisting spirit, that one. Whew! Apparently he left behind 8 cousins. And then you've got the heresy demon. That one didn't work either. And then you've got the whopper of a story demon that apparently didn't quite get booted out because he's still hanging around telling dopey tales. We must learn to hold the scriptures high and to read them well, because it is there that God speaks to us, and it's far more magnificent than these silly fish tales. This is Way of the Master Radio. Hey, Ray.
Yes, Todd.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a conference with you and Kirk and Easy and Paul Washer and Ken Ham and Johnny Hunt and Dr. Marshall Foster, with worship led by Scott Crepane?
That'd be too good to be true, read with astonishment.
Well, Ray, it's not. There's a new conference in town, and it's going to be amazing.
A conference with all those people should be called Deeper.
Well, read, Ray.
It should happen October 17th, 18th, 2008 in Atlanta.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And people should be able to register at deeperconference.com.
Well, that's exactly what I was reading on the script. Visit deeperconference.com to register now. If you like WorldNetDaily.com or TownHall.com, you're going to love ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com. If you're a geek or not, figure out how to use that favorites button and type in www.ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com. Great articles. I mean, really great articles. And you'll find out about Worldview Weekend conferences, which go all over the country. Ravi Zacharias, David Noble, Ray Comfort, and our very own Growing Pain, frequently on the tour. It's www.ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com.
Something's happened to my brain. It's all dried up.
Former Secretary of State Daniel Webster said, "I have read the Bible through many times. I now make it a practice to read it through once every year. It is a book of all others for lawyers as well as divines. And I pity the man who cannot find in it a rich supply of thought and of rules for conduct. It fits a man for life. It prepares him for death."
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Radio tease alert, radio tease alert. What you're about to hear is supposed to encourage you to listen to the second hour of this year's program, Way of the Master Radio. I think it's going to succeed as well as at least, I don't know, the Carter administration. Here we go. Sharon Stone will be speaking a prophetic word. That's all I'm going to tell you right there, coming up on Hour 2. Meantime, this is Hour 1 of Way of the Master Radio, and we're going to hit the streets with our newfound friend.
Eddie Bear, Bear,
Leon
Brown, better than old
of EvangelismTeam.com,
and meaner than a junkyard dog. Eddie Bear, Bear,
Leon
Brown,
yes, sir,
better than
our mail. If you want to be T-N-I-V-E, visit evangelismteam.com. You can learn about Leon.
Leon.
T-N-I-V still out there?
I think so. It's sold about, I think they're in double digits now. They're right up there with our ratings. All righty. Let's go to the streets, shall we? Ray, you ready to go?
Yeah, I heard that Sharon Stone quote. It's very amazing. Just adding to the teaser. It's just a little teaser.
Oh, you were helping.
Yes, I'm a helping
teaser.
Look
at you getting all radio slick and savvy.
I used to tease my sister when I was a little boy, so I've got a natural sort of inclination.
Uh-huh. Mm. Did you ever get spanked as a child, right?
All the time. My father chased me down the driveway with a strap in his hand. He couldn't catch me once.
And when he finally did?
He didn't.
Ever.
It's very frustrating.
You just kept running.
I kept running.
And the next thing you know, you were married.
I'm living in California.
You know, Brainiac here, who does a ton of great work for us, he was saying that he was always the kid that all the other parents would go, "You are not playing with that boy."
Mm-hmm.
That was me, too. Well, and I suspect it was you, too.
You just have to say the words middle drawer, and I break into a sweat, because that's where the strap was kept. It was one of those things that people hold on to in trams, one of those leather things, you know, when you stand up.
Uh-huh.
A friend gave it to us, and my dad kept it, and it was used to chasten us.
Okay, three words that'll give me the shakes.
What's yours?
Wooden spoon. That's it. The wooden spoon.
There'd be
okay.
Three syllables.
Okay, whatever. Let's not get all legalistic about this, you fundamentalist. All she'd have to do is just shake the kitchen drawer. My mother was like, I knew it was coming, and you know what we'd do? We'd run into the bathroom and lock the door.
I'm going to send your studio a wooden spoon.
Honestly, you know what? I'm not being at all ridiculous about this. That is one of the reasons that I wish my mother were alive today, so that I could apologize for being that monster. Because I never did. I just never did. And I was a brute beast, awful, nightmarish child.
Really?
Oh.
Were you told as a kid?
Was I what as a kid?
T-A-L-L. I can't say it properly.
No, I was just a... Why? What was naughty come in large packages?
I'm trying to find the reason that you're a big brat.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Tell us about it, Todd.
No, I'd rather not, because frankly, I think I'd heap up more condemnation on myself. Monstrous. Monstrous. Leon Brown, where are you, young man?
I'm standing in the parking lot of the Bond supermarket, and I'm with Ricardo. I ran into him because I was going into the supermarket to get some singles, $1 bills for the Ambassadors Academy Friday and Saturday hitting the streets. And he's out here getting some donations for building a solid foundation. It's a men's and women's home that take people off the streets, help clean them up, all that kind of stuff. And his name is Ricardo. He's a 31-year-old male, and he says he's a baby Christian, although he backslid. I asked him, well, if
Didn't
I have 2 to 3 minutes left to live, how do I get saved? And he told me, basically, just repeat Romans 10:9-10, you know, confess with your mouth, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I heard an interesting unraveling of that verse. In those days, the Romans, under sentencing of death, would say, deny your faith, or we are going to kill you. And that could have been what Paul was referring to. If you confess, if you're willing to confess at the threat of death, that is what a real Christian does. So, at any rate. So, Leon, two things. You're getting the dollar bills because with the Ambassadors Academy, which is going on right now in Los Angeles, you're going out with the gang. You got 60 people there with the lawman, teaching people how to witness, share their faith through open-air preaching, use dollar bills to draw a crowd, all of that stuff. If you want to learn more about the Academy, go to wayofthemasterradio.com, and you'll find the information there for the Ambassadors Alliance. And, Leon, you're one of the teachers. You're one of the people who goes out with everybody.
That's correct.
All right. And more important, Leon, were you a naughty child?
Aren't we all?
rightly answered. All right, dude. Go to evangelismteam.com. You can check out Leon, and let's have a little chit-chat with Ricardo, shall we?
Okay.
All righty. This is Way of the Master Radio.
Hello. How you doing, sir?
Hello, Ricardo. Appreciate you coming on the program. So you were you're a brand-new Christian, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you fell already?
Well, sir, to be honest with you, no. I had a few stumbles in my life, you know, and I had backslid, but I didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know. He said, you fall down, you shall get back up.
How did you fall down? Was it a big fall?
What'd you say, sir?
Was it a big fall down? I mean, did you fornicate? Did you rob a bank? Or did you just look with lust or something?
No, I didn't do all that, sir, but it was a big fall down, you know. I had to overcome my addiction and my alcohol, you know, things.
So, Ricardo, if you could help me here, Ricardo, could you tell me, what was the motive for you committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did you do that?
Why did I commit my life?
Yeah,
because I can't do it on my own. I need God.
Can't do what on your own?
Sometimes making it through life, you know. You know, making through life's problems, you know, and we all fall short of glory, and none of us perfect. You know?
So, Ricardo...
Hold on 1 second. Hey, yeah. Ricardo, could you put the mouthpiece of the cell phone a little closer to your mouth so we can hear you better?
Yes, sir.
Oh, now we can hear you. Carry on.
That's great. Thanks, Ricardo. So, let me summarize. You became a Christian because you can't get through the problems of life without God helping you. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, you look at look what's going on in the world today. You know, you got billions of people dying in other countries, you know, all in Iraq. You know, look at Jerusalem, you know. And then we got signs. The Bible is prophesied, you know. This thing, you know, Timothy, you know, men be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boosters, proud blasphemers.
Well, it sounds like you know your Bible, Ricardo. Sounds like you know your Bible. Ricardo? Sounds like you know your Bible really well.
Well, there's a lot I have to learn, you know.
Okay,
you know, I need the time to spend time with God.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yes, sir. I got a good heart.
Okay, now I'm going to show you something. The biblical reason why someone becomes a Christian. So if you just bear with me, I'm going to ask you some questions. I just want you to be honest, okay?
Yes, sir.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Repeat that, sir?
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Say you lie?
Yeah, how many lies?
Well, on a soul, stuff like that. Stealing?
No, not stealing. Lies. When you don't tell the truth.
Well, sir, you know, I can't think of none right now, but I done told some lies in my life.
You have told lies in your life.
Yes, sir. I'm not perfect.
Okay, Ricardo.
Sure everybody else did, too.
Ricardo, what do you call somebody who tells lies? What are they called?
You call them false and not being real.
A liar.
Right, a liar.
And now, Ricardo, have you ever stolen anything in your life?
Yes, sir, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
You call them a thief.
Okay. Now, have you ever in your life used God's name in vain?
Yes, I ask for forgiveness, too.
Okay, when you do that, it's called blasphemy, and it's very serious because you've used God's name as a cuss word when it's holy. Now, one more question.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, sir, I have before.
Okay, now, Ricardo, do you still think you have a good heart?
Well, I know I have a good heart, sir.
Okay, let's just stop there for a minute. Ricardo, you said you know you have a good heart, but you've just told me, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. So you haven't got a good heart.
That's why I asked the Lord. That's why I talked to God. I asked God, Lord Jesus, take that up out of my heart. Forgive me for that. I ask for forgiveness constantly, just like David. Even King David, he was a repentant man, and he was forgiven by God. But you know one thing about David? He never did do the same sin again, you know? But that's one thing about us. We got an enemy out here, you know what I'm saying? And he tried to seek, kill, destroy. He looked for our weakness. But, you know, I admit that sometimes I say, Lord, I know I haven't been praying to you, Father. Forgive me. I get down on my knees and I repent. I come back close to God, you know?
Okay, Ricardo, just stay with me for a few moments.
You know the struggle that I go through in this world, you know?
Ricardo, stay with me for a few moments because I think I can give you something that will really help you, but you've got to listen to me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jesus said there's none good but God. He said that in Mark 10, verse 17 and 18. There's none good but God. The Bible in the book of Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked. It's not good. So your heart is not a good heart. You're not a good person. There's none good but God. Good in the Bible means moral perfection and thought, word, and deed. So you're not a good person. Okay? You're a sinner like the rest of us. And that's the reason you come to God. Because if you die in your sins...
Hello?
Grocery carts, Ray.
Yeah, if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'd end up in hell. So you come to the Savior because you're a sinner and your heart is deceitfully wicked and you need God's mercy and you need His forgiveness.
You call upon His name.
Yeah,
you
but you don't...
My son's name.
Ricardo?
All the way to get to the Father, you must go through the Son.
Ricardo?
Yeah, if you call upon His son's name, you shall be saved.
Ricardo, do you know the Bible verse that says, be swift to hear and slow to speak? Okay?
Right, that's right. That's
just
right.
Do that for a moment.
Slow to speak.
You come to Jesus because you're a sinner. You don't come to Him because you have problems and you need help. Because if you do, you're not going to genuinely repent. You'll just say, God, I've got problems. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And it'll be superficial. You come to Him because your heart is deceitfully wicked. And yet God loved you so much, He made a way for you to be forgiven. And it was through the cross where Jesus shed His blood and rose again on the third day. So again, when you come to God, don't come because you've got problems. Come because you're a sinner, heading for hell, and you desperately need His mercy. Todd, do you want to talk to Ricardo?
Hey, Ricardo.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, do you understand that the fellow is simply trying to help you understand? He wants to make sure that you had a right motive for coming to Jesus.
I understand, sir.
Okay, because here's Ricardo, we're not trying to get you into a church. We're not trying to get you off your recovery program. What we want to make sure is that when we die, we see you in heaven, because the Bible makes it so clear, if you come to God with a false motive or seeking anything other than Jesus and His forgiveness, you'll be cast out, because we come to Him for forgiveness of sins because He's good, not because there's trouble in the world or because I need to kick my drug or alcohol habit. Now, He'll take care of those things, I believe, but first things first, you must come to the Savior and Him alone for forgiveness in repentance, apologizing, turning from your sins, and putting your trust in Jesus. Ricardo.
Yes, sir.
Make sure that examine yourself and see if you're in the truth. Think about your sins, think about the Savior, and let that be the issue as to why you repent, because He's so good to save you from your sins. Okay?
That's right.
All right. Hey, Ricardo, thanks for the chat today.
Thank you so much, man.
Okay, goodbye.
God bless.
Goodbye. All right. Now, the younger can't bless the elder, but I'll let him in this instance. Now, Ray, some people are going to be listening, and they're going, well, he just isn't able to articulate it very well, but everything's sort of kind of there. Why were you going at him?
Because his parachute was loose all over the place. There was something radically wrong. He'd already admitted that he had fallen into some sort of sin, and it was kind of serious. And the Bible
probably
says...
Probably relapsed into drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, probably, and then that which comes with it. So... The guy's got to go back and check his motives, because so many people come to God because they've got problems, and when the problems persist, they fall away and become bitter and they're
let in. Yeah, it's like, imagine the college kid who comes home to mom only because he wants the meatloaf and a load of laundry done every weekend. Mom wouldn't be too pleased, and neither is God. We come to Him because He is good for who He is, the forgiver of sins. Repentance and faith today. Make sure your parachute is on tight. This is Hour 1. Way of the Master Radio.